This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Rick Britton is a local author, historian, cartographer extraordinaire, online at rickbritton.com. Check him out, won't you? You can see, you have your maps online, right? You can
see. Yeah, I got a bunch of samples, probably 15 or so, quite a few.
And you're really, really busy right now? You're doing
a
bunch of projects.
I am slammed. Yeah, I made it through a bunch of them, but I've still got a couple going. I did a set of four maps for the Papers of George Washington, and they're right here at UVA up at Alderman.
Yeah, Ted Krakow was just in here a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know who was in there recently? Jeff Looney?
Jeff Looney. And you know, I wanted to tell you, I heard your interview, and it was a great conversation about
he's
the paper.
He's a fascinating guy.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
He's going to come
back.
And
he's really funny, too. Yeah. He's got a great sense of humor.
He's going to come back. We're going to try to do like a regular thing
on
Jefferson.
That's great work that they're doing. And you know, he was too modest to say this, so I'll say this, but one of the amazing things about what they're doing at the Papers of Thomas Jefferson retirement series is they established a grueling schedule of putting out one book a year. And if you see these books, I mean, we're not talking about little books. They're monstrous.
Yeah, so, he said they're like $100 a piece.
Yeah, they're huge.
Yeah.
They're like 800 pages.
And
of
in
course,
paper
they
series, that's like unheard of for these kind of series.
Yeah, so they set that schedule. And since he's been here as the editor, they've maintained that schedule of putting out one a year. Now, the reason they split up the Papers of Thomas Jefferson is because it was taking Princeton forever.
Yeah.
I mean, they've been working on it since 1943, and that was one of the things, that was one of the ideas that Dr. Jordan had. Let's break it apart. Let's bring half of it that's remaining here.
Yeah, Dan Jordan, former President Monticello.
Right,
yeah.
And we know we can do better, and they have been. And that's to Jeff Looney and his staff over there, really, really nice people and really hard workers. And they're doing an amazing job of it.
Absolutely. Yeah, what a talented team.
He didn't say that, so I get a chance to say that.
Well, he
for
did
him.
Tell me off air, he said, we put out about one a year. I'm like, Jeff,
that's
crazy.
They do put out one a year. Yeah, Princeton hasn't been putting out one a year.
No.
No.
But they do it here in Charlottesville.
That's right.
I tell you what, we know how to do it right. Check Rick Britton out online at rickbritton.com. He's Charlottesville's expert on Civil War history, 19th century history, and local history. And you're teaching this class, right?
Yeah, I'm teaching a class that starts next month in January. Gosh, January is next month. It's amazing to say that. Next year in January.
2010, Rick.
Yeah.
2010.
Gosh, 2010, the last year of the decade.
2010. It's crazy. I remember when 1990 sounded like the Jetsons, you know?
Coy,
and now it's 2010.
I remember reading 1984 when 1984 was way in the future, and that was scary.
I remember sitting... let's go back another decade.
Okay.
I can remember sitting at home on New Year's Eve, 1980.
Right.
And I was sitting home alone, because I was just at an age where it's like, you don't need a babysitter, but you're not old enough to like go to parties yet. So
right.
I'm sitting home, watching the ball drop by myself, and I remember the moment... that it was the 80s, and 1979 flipped
right.
to 1980, and
right.
I was watching TV.
Right.
And I remember the first commercial that came on after the ball dropped was some little ditty about she's an 80s lady working hard and taking care of her family or something like that.
That's amazing
and
that
I remember,
you remember that.
Yeah, I remember sitting right there. And you know what? Back then, you had to sit right up against the TV set. Because there was no remote, or we didn't have one.
Right.
So
right.
if the channels were going to turn,
well,
had to reach out and turn them.
There were remotes. I've seen some movies from the 70s.
And yeah, they were big clickers.
There were some early. Yeah, they're huge.
Literally
yeah.
clickers. My uncle had one back in the 70s. And
but,
we all thought it was just some like you know strange science fiction equipment. You know.
Hey, listen, before we talk about this class, and we got some other stuff to talk about, we need to mark the passing of a great, of a television. You're always talking about TV. That's
oh,
why
yeah.
I wanted to tell
I
you.
Love TV.
This TV great from the 50s, so the early years of mass television in the early 60s, Gene Barry just died yesterday. He was 90 years old. We talked about this before we went on air, and you're not familiar with him, but I was a big cowboy TV fan when I was a little kid, and Gene Barry was Bat Masterson. And I mean, he was just
cowboy hero.
He's just the amazing. And they were talking about him on the radio today. And he didn't want to play the character. He didn't want to play the Western hero. And it was a historical character. There really was a Bat Masterson who was a sheriff and a famous famous gunslinger, although he was on the side of the law. And then they told Gene Barry, by the way, the character gets to wear a derby hat and carry a gold-tipped cane. And he's kind of a dandy. He was a real dandy. And Gene Barry goes, okay, well, that's me. And so he was this amazing character, so unlike any of the other cowboys, but he's always positive. And like in the mold of, I was thinking about this driving down here, like in the mold of Shatner in Star Trek, everywhere he went, he got the girl, right? In fact, every town he went to, they knew him. He had a girl already, right?
So he'd already been... He's like a professional golfer.
Right. He won exactly, like a professional golfer. He won. He was always winning. He's always playing poker, and he's always winning. So he always gets everybody else all upset because you see him raking in the stuff. And he always fights for the good and for the moral.
Did he carry a gun?
He carried a gun, yeah, and he was really, really good with it. But he carried it in an odd place. He had a holster on the different side, he had this kind of elegant holster that was on the other side. So he was this real dandy and an amazing guy, and he was an amazing actor, real positive, real confident. He was also on Our Miss Brooks and in Burke's Law, and he just died yesterday at the age of 90.
Wow.
Quite a guy. Gene Barry.
90. Goodbye, yeah. Gene Barry.
Yep.
There you go. We're talking with Rick Britton, local author and historian. Go right ahead.
Got these classes. I've got two coming up. The one that comes up in January is Characters of Central Virginia. And I realized, you know, they wanted me to do some other classes, and both of these will be offered down at the Senior Center. And the ones that I've done so far, I've done three so far, and they've been well attended, and we've got some great comments and great reviews, and people wanted more. And I realized that, you know, it's always the most fun to write about people who are real characters, you know, like Bat Masterson. And I realized that over the course of my writing career, I'd written a lot of articles about local characters. And so that's what this is, Characters of Central Virginia, the famous, the infamous, and the undeniably odd. So Dr. Thomas Walker, one of the founders of Charlottesville, father of Kentucky, discoverer of the Cumberland Gap. James Monroe, not a lot of people know this about him, but he was actually a bona fide hero of the American Revolution, hero of the Battle of Trenton.
With Washington, right?
Which is certainly, yeah, with Washington.
Is that how Jefferson met Monroe? Was it through Washington?
No, Jefferson met Monroe because after he was wounded in the war, Monroe came back to Virginia and then read the law under Jefferson. So that's how he became Jefferson's protege while Jefferson was governor of Virginia. So that's how he met him, by reading the law.
Ah.
Yeah. So not a lot of people know, though, that he was a bona fide hero of this turning point battle.
And the original inhabitant of what would become the University of Virginia.
That's right. A portion of the University of Virginia, yeah. Monroe Hill. That's right. Dolly Madison, Claudius Crozet, you know, he constructed what at the time was the longest railroad tunnel in the world, and it still was for several years. Benjamin Franklin Ficklin, local boy, he was the founder of the Pony Express, owned Monticello for a while. Cyrus McCormick from just over the mountain in Rockbridge County, who was a mechanical genius, of course, and invented the Reaper, and millions of people around the world were fed thanks to his invention. The story of the moon ghost, and it's a haunting in southern Albemarle. Samuel Miller, self-made tobacco millionaire who founded the Miller School. Maud Coleman Wood, America's most beautiful blonde 100 years ago, from right here in Charlottesville. Archie Challoner, who was just an amazing, crazy millionaire who believed he had the X factor. He believed he had this special power that he called the X factor. Frank Dabney Peragoy, who's a Congressional Medal of Honor winner in World War II. Anastasia, the character to end all characters of folks here in Central Virginia. And then for a travel session, we're going to get to see Castle Hill. We're going to go and get a tour of the Miller School. We're going to see Cyrus McCormick's farm. That's going to be a lot of fun. And just as that one's ending, I'm going to start another one, and this is called the Fascinations of Thomas Jefferson. And they wanted me to do one on Thomas Jefferson. I was trying to figure out how to do one, you know, because people know so much around here about Thomas Jefferson, of course, like yourself. And I realized I wanted to talk about the things that he was fascinated about. So we're going to talk about Jefferson in the West, Jefferson in paleontology, Jefferson, one of the founders of that science, friendship, which was something that was really big with Thomas Jefferson, a very loyal friend to many, many people all over the place, architecture, of course, one of his fascinations, and invention.
Yeah.
So I think we'll cover a lot of the things that people don't normally think about when they think about Thomas Jefferson. But that'll be interesting.
You want to sign up for one of Rick's classes? Get in touch with the folks at the Senior Center at 974-6538. Again, that's 974-6538. Or check them out online, seniorcenterinc.org. And I guess they're registering folks now as we speak.
That's right. That's right. And listen, congratulations. I see you've got a class. You're going to be teaching a class in continuing ed. That'll be great.
Yes, I'm looking forward to that. I need to get busy and start scanning some images.
So tell the folks about that one.
That starts the end of January. It's right. through the Center for Continuing Professional Studies at
right.
UVA.
Right.
And I'm teaching a whole class. I think it's six or seven different Monday evenings
right.
about the history of UVA, the corner, and Charlottesville.
Man, that's great.
So it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm really looking forward to it. It's a great opportunity for me to spend some time, get back in the books, and I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Are you going to get a chance to use that PowerPoint presentation of yours in the class, the one that's
every
so great?
Every lecture, yeah. See, I love that. When I teach
great.
When I teach Media 101 to aspiring politicians, uh-huh. I don't use PowerPoint.
Right.
But when I teach this, when you teach history, it just lends itself to
it
pictures.
It does.
You know, because people usually don't see these old pictures. So
right.
I scan a ton of pictures and build PowerPoints with dozens of photographs and just sort of talk about the photographs and go through them and then weave together a story that way through the pictures.
There you go.
Yeah.
So people who want, so I'd like to take your class. So how do people get information on your class?
That is at the School for Continuing and Professional Studies, which is scps.virginia.edu.
Right.
And you can sign up now.
Can you sign up online?
Yes, you can.
Well, that's great.
I think you can, yeah.
Well, that's
great. Maybe we should check that out. I'm pretty sure you can.
You should know that.
I know.
You're supposed to know that.
I know. Oh, gosh. It's a busy time of year.
It is a busy
going
time.
On.
You a lot
ready
of stuff
for the holidays,
going on. Oh, heck no. I haven't even started yet. We're just sending out our Christmas cards.
Well, at least we're sending
behind.
Cards.
Yeah, we're sending cards. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I've started using emails. You know, you send emails and...
And there's so many, like, things you can send people now.
There are.
That... Like free e-cards and things like that.
Yeah.
You almost don't need to send them.
Unless
you're one of those people that writes these long Christmas letters, which I've never really been a fan of. Do you do that?
No. You know what we did this past year?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those are brutal.
No, I'm not a big fan of those.
I'm not either.
I have a friend who does those from the point of view.
And they're always
of,
the same thing, you know?
Well, this one does them from the point of view of the cat. So the cat writes, the family cat writes the Christmas letter. So that's kind of bizarre.
You know, it's funny you say that. You know where I went during lunch today? I made a quick stop by the...
After Zazu's?
Literally, yes. Yes, of course.
How did I know that?
Santa Fe, white chicken, rice, black beans,
when they see you get
barbecue
out of the car, do they start making it?
Yeah, yeah. I walk up, say the regular. I said, yep, give me the same thing. I'm just like my dad. I'm just like my brother. We eat the same thing for lunch for like years. And well, I don't know why that is.
As long as it's not tuna fish.
It's not tuna fish.
You're okay. So what happened after Zazu's?
I stopped by the SPCA.
Right?
I think I'm going to get the kids a little cat for Christmas.
Oh, that's great.
And I want to get one that's, they have a ton of cats up there right now.
Oh, yeah. And they need
and
homes.
And they really
yeah.
need homes.
Yeah.
And I really can't bring myself to get a kitten when there's all these full-grown cats there, because they're not all that old. They're just a few months old.
Right.
So I was looking at some of the older cats, and one of them literally jumped up on my shoulder. It's not the one I want.
Oh,
but it was very cute. Very cute. His name was Marvin. I'm like, Marvin, you got
to
get down.
That's not what you were supposed to say.
Yeah.
Immediately bonded with this cat.
Yeah, no. Yeah. Well, I got a male cat at home, so I need to get a little female. Because I think territorial-wise, it'd be better to get a little girl. So
there you go.
That's what we're looking at.
There you go.
So, again, you want to take Rick Britton's course. It's 974-6538 over at the Senior Center.
At the Senior Center, or you can... go up on the website, seniorcenterinc.org. And, you know, we were just talking about images, and I wanted to tell everybody there's an amazing story if we've got a few more minutes. Do we have a few more minutes?
Yeah, sure.
A family member acquired this piece of art. It's Civil War art. It's a beautiful charcoal drawing of a general. And people had said, well, it looks like Robert E. Lee. And the family member asked my wife and I to research it, and so we did a little research, and what we found is pretty amazing. It turns out, really good chance it's by Winslow Homer, the Winslow Homer. It's not Robert E. Lee. I looked at it immediately.
Winslow Homer is who?
Winslow Homer, one of the great 19th century American artists, did mostly seascapes, but he's brilliant. I mean, if you Google him, you get millions and millions of hits. He's one of the biggest 19th century American artists. It's an image by Winslow Homer, and during the Civil War, he signed simply with an H, and a very distinctive kind of H. I immediately realized it wasn't Robert E. Lee looking at it, and in fact, it's not even a Confederate officer. It's a federal officer. He has the insignia of a brigadier general on the shoulders. It's a beautiful sketch. When you see it, you immediately recognize the fact that the man, whoever it was, man or woman, was incredibly talented. In this case, we're pretty darn sure it's a Winslow Homer. But then the question was, who is it?
And so we started. Who did he draw?
Yeah. So who did he draw? So
and we who just gave started, this to you? Just somebody that
it's a member in the family.
Yeah. And they bought this as original.
Who bought it? And they thought it was Robert E. Lee. So isn't this neat? We got an image of Robert E. Lee. Well, it's not Robert E. Lee, but what they didn't know was that it's a Winslow Homer. So it's worth a lot of money,
and wow.
Despite the fact that it's just
Antiques Roadshow.
Yeah, just despite the fact that it's just a charcoal sketch. So the question was, well, who is this guy? So, you know, I've got books on Confederate generals, and we started flipping through it, and we found a few that sort of looked like it. And then my wife knows a lot more about art than I do. She was flipping through a book that she has on the Civil War, and bang, there was the guy. And not only is it him, but we're pretty sure that this image of him, we found a photograph of him. This image of him was taken at the same time that a series of photographs was taken by Matthew Brady. Then we discovered that Winslow Homer initially, how he got started was he gets sent down to Washington, D.C. to do charcoal drawings of Brady photographs to then send them to Harper's Weekly to be engraved to appear in the magazine, one of the biggest magazines in the United States
at
the time.
And this might be one of those originals.
And this is one of those originals. Now,
wow.
What's even more amazing, this totally blew my mind when this dawned on me, is that the man is Brigadier General Montgomery Meigs, and he was Quartermaster General of the United States Army. He graduated from West Point in the 1830s, near the top of his class, became an engineer. He actually went out west, and he assisted Robert E. Lee on that project that I talked about in one of my visits here down to your show, where they actually changed the course of the Mississippi River, and Meigs was there with Robert E. Lee. Then later on, he came back to Washington. He built the Washington Aqueduct. When the war broke out, Montgomery Meigs was his project. As a member of the Army Corps of Engineers, was working on the Capitol Dome. So this man built the Capitol Dome in Washington, D.C.
Wow.
Then they made him, because he was so talented, they made him a brigadier general, and he became quartermaster general of the United States Army. And in the process of the war, he handled all of that war materiel for the Union armies. And at the end of the war, despite the fact that he was a Georgian, he despised the Confederacy and the Confederacy's leaders. So as the toll of the war was mounting and the United States needed a national cemetery, they came to Meigs as quartermaster general and asked him to pick a spot, and he chose Arlington.
So holy, this is the cow, man. This is the a, man, a really key guy.
This is the man who founded Arlington National Cemetery, despite the Robert E. Lee family, because the Robert E. Lee, it was their his wife's ancestral home.
Very symbolically buried. Very symbolically the guys on that land.
And then later on in the 1880s, Armistead Lindsey Long, who had been on Robert E. Lee's staff, was writing the memoirs of Robert E. Lee. He wrote to Montgomery Meigs and asked for his reminiscences of what it was like on the Mississippi with Robert E. Lee. And so all those years later, Meigs wrote this glowing account of what it was like working for Robert E. Lee.
Is there a biography of this guy?
Yeah, it's an amazing guy, and it's an amazing image, and it's by Winslow Homer, and it's worth a lot of money.
And your family member, where did they buy this thing? Where did they find it? A garage sale or something? Or that's a secret, I guess.
Yeah, they acquired it, but they sent it to us, and we were just totally blown away. And the last piece of the amazing story is the very week that we realized that this was Montgomery Meigs, and here we were looking at this Winslow Homer of Montgomery Meigs, I gave a talk about Robert E. Lee on the Mississippi, and the number two person in the talk is Montgomery Meigs.
Wow, that's weird.
That really makes you wonder.
Yeah.
In the very week that we discovered that that's who this was.
Very cool stuff. Rick Britton.
Is that bizarre?
Yeah. He's online at rickbritton.com. You got to put that picture up on your website so people can look at it.
I will.
rickbritton.com. Thank you for being here and happy holidays.
Yeah, happy holidays to you.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SevillePodcast.com for more.